All right, it's Fairfield County Live and Local. We are presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting live and local music and events in Fairfield County. With me tonight is the champ himself, the cure himself, Mr. Lucas Chase. Lucas Chase, thank you for being here, sir.
What's going on, John? Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, brother. So, you know, listen, I wanted to have you on because, you know, I started seeing, you know, partially because I follow you and just because I've been looking for just for fun stuff to do these days. And I start seeing these events popping up. We've got professional wrestling going on and everybody, you know, knows about WWE. Who wants to sit in an arena right now? Who's got money for those tickets right now?
Nobody.
You guys are doing this on an independent local basis. And I wanted to know what's going on with that and who better to ask than the champ himself. So, dude, thank you for being here. Can you tell me a little bit about what it is that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thank you so much for having me on, John.
My pleasure.
Huge honor. Seriously, man. We go way back. We've known each other for a long time.
Yes, we have.
When you contacted me, I was like, let's rock and
roll. That's right, bro.
You know? And yeah. So independent professional wrestling, you know, you mentioned it. The WWE for a very long time was the only game in town. And, you know, at the height of its popularity through mainstream media and everything else, you know, the WWE was the pinnacle. But right. We're kind of living in a resurgence, almost, so to speak, of professional wrestling because there's so many different options to watch right now. And not a lot of people know about it. You know, what we do on an independent level, you know, myself and so many other guys and girls, you know, through the companies like Blood, Sweat, Tears Wrestling and things of that nature, you know, we have the opportunity to come right to you on a local level and engage, and we have a freedom that they don't have on television. You know, we have a freedom to create.
Well, and yeah, and it is that freedom that I think is the hallmark of any kind of any kind of independent, you know, performance or show or, you know, or competition that you see it in local music all the time. Talk about kind of that difference. What do you guys do that's different from what people would normally see in like a WWE setting, for example?
Well, for one thing, for sure, we don't have a team of writers telling us how to sound and how to speak and how to walk and how to talk.
Love
you know,
that.
When you come to a Blood, Sweat, Tears wrestling show, when you come see The Cure, Lucas Chase, you're getting 100% unchained, unfiltered. You know, I'm a stallion on the open plain, man. I am giving you everything, and it is all me, baby. It's real.
Right
you
on.
Know? And that's the greatest thing about professional wrestling is you have these grandiose personalities, and you get to choose whether you want to cheer them, you want to boo them, you want to side with them, you want them to get their head knocked off, or you want to see them kick some butt, you know? And I don't know the parameters here with language. So I went
you
with
can
blood.
Say kick some ass. that's a healthy thing to say.
That's where we can kick some ass. There we go.
Yeah, man. You yeah. Know?
And it's that audience participation. It's going out there and giving 110% of ourselves to you so that you leave and you go, that was awesome, man. I can't wait to go back. And there's so many different companies right now out there, and there's so many different ways to watch this product that, you know, now's the time to tune in because I honestly think within the next couple of years, the resurgence is going to hit an all-time high. And you're going to have that, what really makes professional wrestling tick is competition. And you're going to have that competition between companies on an independent level, on a mainstream level that is going to be reminiscent of the Attitude Era or 80s wrestling.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it's almost, I mean, because, you know, and we're old enough to remember WCW before that guy, you know, before that got swallowed. And that was like, I mean, you know, I think it was that spirit of competition where you really, you know, when you're not, I mean, if you're not trying to outdo anybody, how could you possibly grow? So this is what I love. This is what I love about hearing about like stuff like that. And, you know, and we'll talk more about this in detail later. But of course, there's shows coming up right now at the Acoustic in Bridgeport this Saturday and the following Saturday, August 15th and 23rd. But tell me first just a little bit about you. How'd you get into this world?
Well, first things first. The cure for professional wrestling is Lucas Chase. And what is the cure for professional wrestling? Professional wrestling over time has developed into this soap opera, cartoon character, you know, just facade of what it used to be, the golden era of professional wrestling, the Ric Flairs, the Wahoo McDaniels, the Greg Valentines, the Arn Andersons, the Hulk Hogans, you know, right. the Shawn Michaels, the Bret Harts, etc. And The Cure, Lucas Chase, is bringing that era back to professional wrestling. He's bringing back what we grew up loving, what we grew up gravitating towards and loving. Mm-hmm. That is what I bring to the table. And I was pretty much born into this world. You know, I remember my earliest memories, like sitting on my grandmother's lap watching wrestling because she was a wrestling fan.
Right.
You know? And that I was stuck, man. I was hooked. And, you know, all the kids, they would do the rock eyebrows and they you know, pretend to be DX and do the crotch chops and things of that nature. But I was doing it too. But I was like, I'm going to do it on the next level. I'm going to go. I'm going to train. I'm gonna say my prayers, eat my vitamins, and I'm going to hold one of these.
That's right.
And look at this now. I'm holding one.
There it is. There it is.
Gold.
So who were your big guys when you were a kid? Who were the big, who was like your top three?
Top three?
Yeah, give me a top three. You know what? Make it top five.
Top five?
Ooh, yeah.
I might get some critiques here from everyone watching at home.
I'm excited.
But if you have
a critique or a question, write it in the comments, by the way. But yeah, sorry, continue.
Open for business. Let's go. I got to go with Triple H as my number one. Huge Triple H fan growing up. I just always liked his style, especially when he went and became the Game in the early 2000s. And he had Motorhead playing his theme song. Like, it was cool, man. He was cool to be a bad guy, you know? So, you know, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Dean Malenko was a huge influence on me, Arn Anderson, and, of course, the greatest of all time, in my opinion, without a shadow of a doubt, the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
The Nature Boy Ric Flair. What is it about Ric Flair that makes him such a legend? Because you see the Joe Rogan comedy special where he mentions Ric Flair's name, and you just get the woo right out of the gate. The man has the literal, emotional expletive forever attached to his name. What makes a guy like that such a legend?
I'm just gonna put the title down here because it's 10 pounds of gold
please,
on the shoulder.
Please do.
Relax.
You got to keep the delts healthy.
That's it. Got to rotate, you know?
Got to rotate.
But Ric Flair, and this goes back, you know, to what I was mentioning earlier about the difference between indie wrestling and manufactured, you know, mainstream wrestling,
sure.
is that Ric Flair was the original guy to quote unquote live that gimmick. Ric Flair is Ric Flair. He's not putting on a show. You know, he's buying the custom suits. He's wearing the Rolex watches. He's getting a private jet every city that he's in. He's got the alligator shoes. You know, he's buying the bar for everyone, you know? And that's what made him such an icon. And I think now he's even more icon. You got kids that are listening to, you know, mumble rap that know who Ric Flair is because there's the Ric Flair drip.
Yep.
He transcends professional wrestling.
So the authenticity. It's the
Absolutely.
Authenticity that it's people just that people gravitate towards.
And I gotta tell you, man, there's no crowd and no fan base like a professional wrestling crowd because they can smell manufactured and fake a mile away. You try to BS a wrestling crowd, they're gonna call you out on it.
You remember when The Rock was Rocky Johnson at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
He was coming out.
Yeah.
He was just this little nice guy. Got booed off stage. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Booed off stage. It's funny to ask, how do you get that authenticity? But how do you smell a fake? I guess is a better question. How do you smell it?
I think there, and I might get what we call in the business a little bit of heat for saying this, but there's two types of professional wrestlers. Okay, there's what Lucas Chase is, and I'm not playing pro wrestler. I am a pro wrestler. I get in there, and you're getting Lucas Chase when I step through those ropes, and I'm in that locker room. You're getting Lucas Chase when you see me on the street. You better believe that you're getting Lucas Chase.
That's right.
But then there's other guys and there's other girls that are in it and they think they're going to get a payday. They think that they're going to do what, you know, have some fun and get famous. And this is what I want to do. They're not doing it because they want to be a pro wrestler. They're doing it because of the admiration and the ego stroking that happens within professional wrestling, you know,
sure.
because if the crowd loves you, imagine having an ego. Whoa, you go out there, everyone cheers you, you know, you're in love with yourself and the fans know who's playing wrestler and who is a wrestler.
Okay.
Straight up.
Right. So what about, like, how do you, How do you develop this skill set? Because it is a very specific skill set. I mean, you guys are professional athletes. What's the regiment like? I mean, going all the way back to when you first start to your daily regiment now of keeping yourself sharp. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lengthy process, and to be a successful professional wrestler, you know, from the days in which you start training all the way through the end of your career, you have to be open to suggestion and you have to be willing to learn. Once you think in this business that you've learned everything and that you have all the answers, that's when you start to fail immediately. You know, there and it goes back to the ego thing. You know, you're, oh, I know what I'm doing, and then that's when it just starts to go all downhill from there, because you're not giving it everything you can, you rest on your laurels. So when I started training, you know, and I started training back when it was hard to find a professional wrestling training facility. You know, it was this secret business that it was kind of carnival, and, you know, you had to know someone who knew someone who knew someone to get in.
Well, yeah, because that's, I mean, and that's what I was wondering. Just being a layman myself who doesn't know the, you know, like the ins and outs of the world, like I wouldn't even know where to start with that. But it's sorry, like, I keep going.
I used to go to, you know, independent shows when I was in high school, and I started to talk, you know, hanging around the parking lot and talking to people, and, you know, and then that person told me about a facility opening up here in Bridgeport at the time. This was 2008, and I went and I asked around, and I literally probably it would be considered stalking at this point, you know, because I was hell-bent. I wanted to get in the ring. I wanted to learn. I wanted to train. Yeah. And, you know, I ended up training here in Bridgeport. And, you know, doing my thing, and, you know, it's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of learning how to operate within the confines of this 20 by 20 or 16 by 16 or even 10 by 10, you know, piece of canvas that we're painting our picture on, you know, and it's athleticism. It's personality, charisma, it's acting. It's a little bit of everything, you know. I
sounds like it's art. It's art.
It is art. It is art. It absolutely is art. It's creativity in the most raw form, in my opinion. You know, you go see a Broadway show, they're live and they're acting out a movie right in front of you, right? Everything is on the spot. They ad-lib, improv, you know, they have this, that. It's an outline. We know what we're doing, but we're going to put our own little spin on things. Now, imagine that intense atmosphere of a Broadway performance and throw in a 300-pound guy trying to sit on your face and hit you with a steel chair and et cetera, et cetera.
And you're flying through the air. And I mean, like, dude, I see the moves you guys are doing. Like, no one's missing out on any, like, on any quality by hitting up one of these shows.
I tell people all the time, I go, you use the F word, as I like to call it. You know?
Sure.
Oh, you know, oh, professional wrestling's fake. I'll show you exactly how fake it is. Come step inside the ropes.
Sure.
Come step inside the ropes. You can blow out a knee by one wrong turn coming off those ropes.
Oh, yeah.
You can get concussed. You can break your neck doing what we do on a nightly basis. And there's no off season. There's no off season.
Right.
All the time. We don't take breaks. You know, COVID-19 threw a little bit of a wrench in the work for a lot of us. But, you know, on a regular calendar year, we have guys and girls that are working every single night, every single weekend, 365, you know, and it's a beautiful thing, because the dedication that takes to envelop yourself in a world 100%, that separates who wants it and who's playing.
Right. You know? Well, please continue.
I'm sorry. I was just, you know, I got to tell you, with that dedication, I tell you, COVID-19 threw a huge wrench in the works. A lot of promotions had to shut down. There was no training facilities, anything. I'll tell you a little bit about me now. My training regimen, I'm in the gym 6 days a week lifting. I'm clanging and banging, okay? I'm doing my thing. I'm eating right. I'm dieting. I got my nutrition plan set. But I went above and beyond, because come February, I saw these little grumblings, the COVID-19, you know, the world spreading pandemic.
Oh, so you're talking about ahead of time. This was like you'd been 6 days a week. You'd been having the nutrition, but you had. It's funny, because guys who really are about it, and my bad to interrupt, but guys who really are about it kind of saw it coming. I was talking to a guy named Matt McNulty, who's a phenomenal musician, a couple of nights ago. He saw it coming too, and he went out and bought all this streaming stuff. My bad. Continue. What was it that tipped you off? Keep that going, because I'm fascinated to hear about this.
So all these things going on in the world, right? you know, and we got COVID-19 hitting it, and we got everything shut down. And I said to myself, I said, everything's shut down. I need to be able to work out. I need to be able to eat right. Okay. So I built an entire training facility in the basement of my home. I'm talking everything that you need to be in phenomenal tip top shape. I got it. Okay. And then I went out and I have a professional wrestling ring in my backyard that I purchased during COVID-19 just so that I can train and stay in shape to be in that ring.
What are the dimensions on that thing?
I have a 10 by 10 back there.
That's sick.
You know, and that's I'm staying sharp, baby. The cure, right. The champ, he's above everybody else. You know, he does his thing. That's why I hold the 10 pounds of gold. That's why I'm the Blessed Witch's wrestling champion right there.
Gotta be. I love that, dude. And what was the moment? Like, describe the moment where you were just like, oh, okay, no, this is going to go nuts. Because me, like, I was, in retrospect, I feel so naive. I was at a concert in Madison Square Garden, like, drinking beers, sharing all kinds of, we don't have to get into what I was sharing. But, you know, like, on March 11th, I was there. And, like, when my job shut down and everything, I was like, what? I can't believe. What was the tipping point for you? When did you say, okay, this is going to be a thing?
The tipping point for me, I got to say, it was right around Mardi Gras.
Okay.
Because we started hearing grumblings through January.
Yeah.
And then towards Fat Tuesday, you know, you start hearing these things about how fast it's spreading in Italy and X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And once I start, because I pay attention, I'm huge into, you know, world events and current events and history. I'm all about it, you know.
Yeah.
The Cure likes to put his pen to paper and read the black and white, you know.
That's the way to be.
And once I saw it spreading, I said, this is going to be unprecedented. This is going to be, we're going to live through history right now. You know, mm-hmm. We've lived through history already. We've had stuff like 9/11 happen and war in the Middle East. You know, we've been through it, but this is an unprecedented time. And it's funny because my birthday is March 16th.
Oh, really?
And that is the day that we shut down.
I was going to say that was shutdown day. Yeah.
That was shutdown day.
Oh my God.
Everything happened and snowballed. And I was just like, whoa. You know? And it's, we lost you there, John.
I'm back. It was that same thing that happened in the pre-show. Keep going, man. I can hear you and they can hear you, most importantly.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. You know, it was that shutdown day, man. It was crazy. It was my birthday. It was my 30th birthday. My 30th birthday. It was a big one. I was celebrating. You know, the Cure was all over the place. He was taking 10 pounds of gold. He was rocking and rolling. Then they said, oh, everyone's shutting down. And I was like, whoa, all right, time to get back to the drawing board.
Wow.
You know?
Well, you did. I mean, you did. You called it. You called it in a way that, you know, like I said, certain people who really have, you know, like have a dedication to what they do called it. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I noticed that some people who are just in love with their craft and what they do immediately can smell, like, something's going to affect my ability to do the thing that I love to do. I need to take steps. But what about the rest? What about the rest of the community? What was the reaction among the rest of the independent wrestling community?
So there's a little event. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. There's a little event that takes place every year. It's called WrestleMania. Okay.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania, what is the Super Bowl of professional wrestling.
Of course.
Right? So every year, no matter what town is involved with WrestleMania, every major independent wrestling organization descends upon that city and puts on shows all week long. And it is where thousands upon thousands of wrestling fans congregate for conventions and shows, where independent wrestlers congregate to perform for these fans during WrestleMania weekend, and then of course at the end of it attend the big show, the grand stage, right?
See, I had no idea. That makes perfect sense though. Yeah.
That was taken away from us. And believe it or not, approximately $500,000 worth of revenue and profits towards independent wrestlers was lost when WrestleMania was canceled in Tampa.
Jesus. I mean, you know, it does. I mean, it does. It makes sense. You know, I mean, why would there not be like a correlation with the independent community? You know, I mean, like we have major festivals around here. What are all the bars doing for the lead up to that major festival? Bands, boom, everything, you know, pre-parties, stuff like that. So independent wrestling is taking a massive financial hit.
Huge.
As a business, what about on a personal level? Like, what about, you know, just other people that you spoke to, other people in the industry, you know, was there? Yeah.
It hurt a lot, you know, because we're independent contractors. We don't have a deal, you know, unless you're working for two of the major companies or three of the major companies, I should say, like Ring of Honor or, you know, AEW or the WWE. You don't have a guaranteed deal. You know, right. You don't have guaranteed money coming in for X amount of time. And we rely on, you know, making money off of the gate. We rely on selling our merchandise that we pay for out of our own pocket to get made, you know, and you know, it's tough. You can literally hear the melancholy coming through the voices of my peers. You know, we would chat and we would talk, and it was tough because we don't know how we were going to feed our families. We don't know how we were going to make our next dime. We don't even know when we were going to come back. We didn't know because we're working off of phases and we're working off of what the government is doing. And, you know, the stimulus checks help out, but not a lot of us are able to collect unemployment because we're 1099, man.
Right. Of course. You know what? And I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
And it was rough. And what our saving graces were for a lot of us, you know, and you can see the link on the bottom of the screen right now, you know, ProWrestlingTees.com/LucasChase has all of my merchandise. And ProWrestlingTees.com is a phenomenal company. And I don't have any sponsorship with them. I don't work for them in any type of way. But they're a company out of Chicago, Illinois, where any independent wrestler worth their salt in the country, actually worldwide technically, can go on and formulate a store for their own merchandise. So you can be in, you know, Mexico or Chile or Los Angeles or Colorado or whatever, and you can go on and get yourself official Lucas Chase merchandise. And nice. That helped me through COVID. I was pushing merch because I needed to buy groceries.
You know? I can imagine. Yeah.
That uncertainty of making an income during this unprecedented time, I don't think anything was hit quite like independent contractors. And I'm not just talking professional wrestling now, but independent musicians who are living off their gigs. Yep. You know, my friends, my close personal friends in Remember September. Great example.
Just had them on last night. But anyway, sorry, continue. Okay. Just had them on last night. Love the Shods.
Shout out to the Shods. Shout out to Remember September.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they're a prime example of a band, you know, that is known and is worth their salt and what they do. Yes. And they rock it out and they are gigging every single week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The amount of revenue that they lost is detrimental.
It's massive.
It's huge.
It's massive. And it's not. And you bring up the best point with really anybody who makes their living off of entertaining people is that how do you unemployment doesn't exist. That's not a thing.
That's not a thing for us.
So it's, dude. I mean, so when did things start to open up? Because now, and we're going to talk about this more in a minute. Now we've got some shows coming up. When and how did things start to open up? What was the compromise? Because I feel like every industry's had to have that compromise. You know, restaurants got to be outdoors. Gatherings have to be no more than 10, and then it was 50, and then it was. So what? How did the comeback happen, and how is it happening?
So we're on a tipping point, so to speak, right?
Sure.
We have these great platforms now, like social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, where we can literally at the drop of a hat post and work and do X, Y, and Z, you know, to get our product out there. You know, it's not just the gigs anymore. It's not just the shows anymore. You know, we could actually put on a performance in an undisclosed location and put it out there for people to watch. And that's how it really started. You know, I actually had my first match back in June in Massachusetts for a company called WCWE. Okay. Wow. And also I am Lucas Two Belts. I'm the WCWE heavyweight champion as well.
Hey, two belts.
Two belts. So, you know, we went up there and it was a undisclosed event outdoors, and it was pre-taped. We shot it on one day and released it on another day, you know, and that helped us generate some buzz. And then I got a little phone call. I got a phone call from Blood, Sweat, Tears Wrestling, and they were like, the state's opening back up. We are the pinnacle of professional wrestling, Fairfield County. You know, we had the Battle of Black Rock last year. Black Rock and Bridgeport are, you know, they're clawing for some wrestling. They're clawing for the cure, and we're going to give it to them. So, you know, we partnered up with the amazing venue, The Acoustic, a legendary venue who, thank the dear Lord, were able to stay open.
For right now, man, for right now, we're loving it.
And we jumped at the opportunity to work with such a fine venue and a fine establishment and a fine fine business owners down there in Bridgeport. And now we have August 15th, August 23rd, limited seating. So what we're doing, you know, we're following all these procedures now, right? It's a new normal.
Sure. Right?
And I got to say, The Cure doesn't need any new normal because he is the cure. So
that's right.
So
I mean,
COVID doesn't
listen.
Come at me.
You're coming. I mean, listen, you're coming with the cure.
Yeah, I'm coming with the cure. Vaccination administered. You know, you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, baby.
You know, but we are taking precautions for those who need it. And with that being said, what we're doing is it's a limited number of tickets for in-house. Okay. So once they go, they go. Okay. No more people buying at the door, nothing of that nature. You buy your tickets, you come to the show. Once you enter the show, you will receive private seating, plexiglass dividers in between the fans, separating the ring area and the fan base. You can sit down. It's going to be table service for drinks and food.
Sure.
You'll be able to remove your mask safely, and you'll be distanced apart from all the other fans and enjoy it in a safe capacity. And on the other side of the spectrum, all performers and talent and staff alike have to administer a temperature checks before they're entering the locker room. We had to fill out an entire COVID questionnaire. Anyone who is out of the state or out of the country within the past 14 days or has been, any type of sickness within the past 14 days, unfortunately, we had to rebook them for another time, just based on the fact that we're taking all the safety measures. And you're going to see a little bit of a difference in between the matches as well, because we're going to have a cleaning crew come out in between each match, spraying the ropes with sanitizer, doing X, Y, and Z to keep our performers safe. You know, you're working the show, and we want to put on a fantastic product and a fantastic event. And we're going to be able to do that by taking these precautions. And the biggest thing is, and I go back to the social media, we're going to be streaming, for those who can't make it, live streaming this show on Facebook Watch.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be available in your home. The Cure is going to be in your home. You know, how exciting is that? You don't need to know. That sells the tickets right there.
Yeah, baby. See, this is what I love. I love watching businesses, whether it's, you know, traditional local businesses or arts, entertainment, sports, entertainment, adapting. And it sounds like that's exactly what the industry is doing, exactly what independent wrestling is doing, adapting and keeping a high level, not only of safety, but a high level of entertainment. See, that's the kind of stuff that makes people like myself, but also like my wife, you know, people like, you know, we have young kids at home. I know you have a young kid, you know, like there's people got to know stuff like that. And you guys are taking all the right steps.
Yeah, we're taking all the proper cautions. I got to give I got to tip the cap to Blood, Sweat, Tears Wrestling Management. The fact that they took the initiative to see all these precautions, to see what the parameters were. And they said, we're going to do what we need to do within the guidelines and within the parameters so that we can come back and entertain you. Because at the end of the day, all we want to do is go out there and put on a show for the people that want to be entertained. And quite frankly, I got to tell you right now, whoever is out there watching, you know, everyone from 95.9 to Fox, everyone from, you know, Fairfield County, Connecticut, whether you're a wrestling fan, whether you're not a wrestling fan, August 15th, August 23rd, The Acoustic is the place to be. Facebook Watch is the place to be, because we are going to give you a show like no other in a time where you need it the most, because we know that we need that distraction. There's a lot of people still at home from work that can't, you know, go back yet, and they're chomping at the bit for something, and we're going to give it to you.
And that's it, man. That's it right there. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be checking this out. At least one of the shows. This is in my backyard, for God's sake.
I know. You're right down the road.
And, dude, I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to have something fun to do on a Saturday. And dude, it's just been so great having you here and talking to me, man. Oh, I appreciate it. It's the Cure, Lucas Chase, 2-time belt holder, 10 pounds of gold.
10 pounds of gold, baby.
And he's going to be at, and he's going to be at the Acoustic with a ton of other incredible independent professional wrestlers on August 15th and August 23rd at the Acoustic in Bridgeport. Tickets are available now. Tickets are available right here, right? Facebook.com/BST Wrestling.
Facebook.com/BST Wrestling. The links are splattered all over the place, I tell you right now. They're doing a phenomenal, you know, marketing campaign with this thing, and it's been all over the place. This has been a whirlwind of us getting back to our normal with professional wrestling. And the fact of the matter is, August 23rd, August 15th, the Acoustic in Bridgeport. It's a homecoming for yours truly.
That's right.
That's right. The Cure comes home.
Hometown
and,
hero.
The Tournament of Titans is going to be this Saturday. It's going to be at 8 p.m. start time on Facebook Watch for live audience. Doors are at 7 p.m. Come on down. Check us out. And who knows? Maybe you'll see the champ become the king of the 203. And I'll see you at Toe Talk Tavern after the show.
Woo! Yeah. And we're going to be linking up all of that at Fairfield County Live and Local. Make sure you check on our Facebook page and all of that good stuff. I'm going to be sharing, you know, different stuff. And, of course, we will be sharing the Facebook Watch video of that on Saturday. Champ, thank you again. Thank you to all the people who
pleasure.
Yeah, brother. Thank you to all the people who are watching today. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. We'll see you guys on August 15th and 23rd. Cure, stick around for me for a quick sec, but for everyone watching at home, thank you, and I'll catch you next time.